I'm Brian Wilson. Mary Walter has the day off, feeling a little under the weather. And Vince Colonnaise is nice enough to jump in here and help us out this morning from the Daily Caller. Good morning to you, Vince.
Good morning to you. And I'm very excited to be here. And in part because we've got Jim Garrity now from the National Review.
There you go, right there.
Swinging on in. Jim, thank you for joining us this morning on Mornings on the Mall.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. I think this is one of the earliest appearances, other than when I'm co-hosting with Brian, I've been on. So I hope to be coherent this morning.
Oh, good. You'll be more coherent.
Coherence is something we desire on Mornings on the Mall.
It's a spillover benefit, yeah. Jim, you know, this is the end of last week was a busy news week. Therefore, it means the beginning of this week will certainly be very busy. I don't think we've had a presidential tweet storm yet this morning, although that's on its way
I'll check.
How do you assess, you know, the president said in an interview over the weekend with Jeanine Pirro that he may actually move the press conference situation to just me once every 2 weeks and just get rid of his press team. You've been writing sort of about the chaos at the White House. What do you make of that idea?
There is almost a certain logic to it, in that you can kind of tell a lot of days Sean Spicer has to go out there and either my suspicion is he doesn't believe what he's saying, or he doesn't really know the information that an ordinary White House press secretary would have. Apparently he got a half-hour warning about the firing of James Comey, and he was expected to put together a coherent, well-organized, compelling argument for this decision that the president himself was not willing to do, which is why so much of the defense focused on, we didn't like the way the Comey had handled the Hillary investigation. And then, you know, 48 hours later, Trump does his interview with Lester Holt and says, well, actually, no, it's because I didn't like the job he was doing, and the Russian investigation is nonsense.
Now, there's some reporting suggesting that the reason why there was such a short window of communication time is that the president's concerned about leaks from within the White House.
Yeah, but here's the thing. One of the ways that a move like this seems less shocking is actually through leaks, right? Usually when you see a big change in administration, you actually hear the rumors for quite some time ahead of time. We've been hearing rumors about a shakeup in the White House. Priebus is going to be out. Bannon is going to be out. Jared is in ascendancy. We're constantly hearing these things. In a way, if we had had a couple weeks of, you know, the president's lost faith in Comey, Comey messed up in his testimony, there are a couple other decisions that the FBI has made, you could actually kind of get people used to the idea of, you know what, it probably is better if the FBI got some fresh leadership. In this case, I think leaks actually would have helped the White House, and it would have just, you know, people would have felt less blindsided by it when the decision came down.
In one of your recent articles, you go through like five different stories they told about the Comey firing from the press operation over there, which says to me that, you know, they're not being brought in, and I don't know how in the world you're supposed to be an effective communicator on behalf of the president if you're left in the dark about everything.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things where it's fascinating how much Trump is concerned about the loyalty of people around him. Look, once people go to work for you, Mr. President, they're loyal to you, right? Their fate is more or less tied to yours. I've never understood this idea of the idea there'd be great value that you'd be in a presidency that didn't do well, but you were the champion leaker, right? That you were the one who, they didn't listen to me, so that's why everything turned out or something. You rise or fall based on how your presidency does. And, you know, if they weren't loyal to you, Mr. President, they wouldn't go work for you, right? The reporting is that there are apparently a bunch of people who have been asked to join the administration or asked if they're interested in particular jobs, and they said, no thanks, can't bring me out of the private sector, I'm making too much money, things like that. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons this administration is kind of hobbling along with either not the first choice, the A-list staff, or in a lot of cases, you know, particularly throughout the rest of the administration, they're still looking to fill up jobs, and it's, you know, we're getting to mid-May now.
Yeah, I mean, loyalty in most cases is usually a meritocracy. You earn loyalty by being just as faithful back to your employees. And I'm guessing there's a lot of people that are hoping that the White House sort of cleans up. You mentioned a second ago that there's been waves of reporting over and over about people being thrown out of the White House, major staff shakeups. Mm-hmm. We saw that again this weekend. I believe Axios had a big report about some major shakeups are coming, potentially including cabinet officials.
If you want to have fun, fellas, go through Google News and just look at all the times the headline, Trump is considering.
Yes.
And in a short span of just a couple of days, we'd had Trump was considering pulling out of NAFTA. He was considering firing cabinet officials. You know, I think Trump considers a lot of things. I actually think the media should stop hyperventilating every time they get word from some unidentified Trump associate.
Good point.
That he's thinking about something. Worry when he does something.
So, so domestic.
The irony is the one thing we did not hear that he was considering was fire James Comey.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it happened. It's just like a missile strike in Syria. Now, And when it comes to domestic politics, there's certainly been a lot of chaos. But on foreign policy, we've talked to some of your colleagues at National Review. President Trump has had sort of, kind of victory after victory on the foreign policy front, or at least been doing things that have not gotten the same passionate counter-reactions as his domestic agenda.
It may be. Now, obviously, keep in mind, the entire focus of the Democratic Party right now, for every bit of news that comes down the pike, is basically, does this help us with impeachment or not? And if
yes.
It doesn't, they don't care.
Yeah, you're like, right about that.
You can legitimately be concerned about what Russia did in the election and not feel that they actually swung the result, not feel that Trump is an illegitimate president, but just think, you know what? Disinformation operations floating around from a foreign government that does not like us are a bad thing. We probably should be taking steps to prevent that or deal with that in future elections. But that doesn't help get rid of Trump, so Democrats have very little interest in that.
Talking about foreign policy, one thing that you hear is that the president's very pleased with Rex Tillerson over the State Department, who doesn't say a heck of a lot, and maybe that's the way you survive in this administration, is you have your conversations with the president, but then by and large, you don't say anything else.
Very true. And look, back during the campaign, I was one of the Never Trump guys. I've been very critical of the president, but I'll make an observation here. I was among those who figured once in office, President Trump would be tested, whether it was from big powers like China or Russia or by, North Korea shoots off a missile every couple of weeks.
Right.
We've kind of gotten used to it. I kind of feel like the world's rogue actors. Because Trump is so unpredictable, I really wonder if everybody's like, don't test this guy. Don't push him. You don't know whether he'll do a missile strike like in Syria. Will he drop a Moab like he did in Afghanistan? Mm-hmm. Or you just get a series of angry tweets. Nobody knows what to expect from the president, and that might have everybody kind of on their best behavior, or at least don't poke the bear of the United States of America.
Yeah, because the bear is unpredictable, right?
And when that was a campaign promise, Trump said he wouldn't
telegraph
his punches.
That's right. All right, we got to leave it right there. Jim Garrity with the National Review, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, my friend.